Hey everybody, it's Narita Tyler. I have a guest today that you guys are going to love, Jamie Crosby. She's the CEO and founder of a company called Proactivate. I'll let her tell about, you know, what the company does and how they serve, but I wanted to introduce Jamie, and we're going to talk today about the top of funnel, although she does have experience all the way through. So unlike Mary Lou, who only does top, she knows a lot about a lot of different things with the pipeline. So I've asked her to focus for our sakes on top of funnel. But if you like what she's saying, if you love the process that she uses and her workflows, then by all means, talk to her about the whole pipeline. Jamie, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us about Proactivate. What is Proactivate and how, you know, what's your passion around that and who do you serve as clients?
Absolutely. So we serve VPs of sales and CEOs of sales organizations across all industries, specializing specifically in sales and marketing and really things that support revenue generation within an organization. And, you know, the passion behind it is really helping organizations achieve revenue goals, increase productivity, and just maximize the talent among their teams and their performance to achieve peak levels of performance, and with individuals as well to help them reach their full potential within organizations. So we serve our clients by specifically finding a player to join their team or protecting their revenue by either replacing C players with A players or building a funnel of talent to protect in case their top performer were unexpectedly, you know, to leave or something of that nature. And then as well, you know, helping organizations really look at creating a peak performance culture within their companies.
Oh, wow. That's great. So, you know, if we were to look at the three-legged stool of people, process, and technology, would you say Proactivate focuses on all those three areas, or do you specialize perhaps on the people side more? How would you do, if I were to put you in that box of those three different layers?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because really, you know, I do think when you look at someone's success within a company, I may look at the three layers a little bit differently, but it is those three layers. But what I typically would say is, I would say to answer your question directly, we focus mostly on the people piece of that. Sometimes companies need help with the sales process. But when we're looking at that people piece, you know, I think, what does it take for people to be successful? It's skill set, mindset, and tool set. And so the technology is kind of the tool set of what you're speaking about, right?
Yep.
And just, you know, the tools for the company to give them. But skill set and mindset are super important. And 80% of sales success is about mindset. But so much we're focused on skill set development. So I would say we really help to, you know, focus in terms of development on mindset, but getting the right people in the place, you know, getting the right people in the seats and maximizing the potential of the organization by getting great people first and foremost, finding A players and upgrading the team from the perspective of, you know, making sure they've got the mindset component as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I just finished teaching an MBA class here locally in Des Moines, and it was very clear that mindset is an area of piqued interest among students. And it's funny because I'm coming from the process side of things. So I wouldn't consider myself a people mindset type of person, but I do know that from the process point of view, we can amplify when there's skill set issues or mindset issues. But I'm not the person you're going to come to fix that or to understand what we need in order to be successful in each of the sales roles. So tell us about the mindset piece, if you don't mind sharing. What got you interested in that piece, and what types of frameworks or systems have you put together to help companies focus on developing higher quality mindset for each of their people in the different sales roles that are available in the company?
Sure. Well, that's a great point and a great question. And I think, by the way, you helping identify if it's a skill set or mindset issue is very important and impactful, because, you know, it starts there, right? With figuring out what the true issue is, and then you can go about adding value to fix it. And so, you know, how did I get into it? I feel like, you know, first of all, we've got to have great people, right? But then a lot of times mindset is an issue across the board for any level of leader, for any industry, whether it's, you know, someone in sales or leadership or marketing or operations, or truly no matter who it is. And I started learning about mindset and just the fact that this alone is just eye-opening. Naturally, every day we have 60,000 thoughts. And without editing those thoughts and without being aware of mindset and the impact of it, naturally 80% of those thoughts are negative. And so if you look at, you know, just that in and of itself, and then the impact of that on a salesperson who's facing rejection all the time, right? Okay. I mean, you just think about especially getting appointments and all of the, you know, and trying to close deals, and just how our mind can impact opportunities all of the time. And so I started learning about that and how when we can engage in higher level thinking, we can perform at such optimal levels. And when I say higher level thinking, I'm really referring to, you know, flipping the script on those naturally negative thoughts, learning how to conquer that, and learning how to think at a higher level, detach emotionally sometimes in scenarios. So you think of a hard client situation where, you know, you may just be getting flustered, but instead of that, thinking at a higher level, assessing the data at hand, quickly presenting a new solution, and you end up getting the deal. But so much of, you know, I felt there was a huge need, because a lot of us have had a great skill set training. There's a lot of great sales training, and I have been through it and I've presented it. But the mindset piece is so impactful, whether you're an athlete, you know, so much of that is the mental preparation, or you're in sales, so much of it is the mental preparation. So, you know, we as a company at ProActivate for 13 years, we've helped organizations find A players and, you know, people who can maximize their revenue potential. But we now are helping as well. Over the past couple of years, I became certified in peak performance mindset. And we help to impact that by offering workshops within organizations to teach them about all the components of growing their mindset.
Wow. So it sounds like it is a framework, though, correct, that you've put together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's not, you know, it sounds like just really kind of unclear. But it's a specific framework, and there are specific action steps we can take to, you know, just edit, like think about our self-talk and how to manage that self-talk.
Right.
And, you know, just how to engage in no limit thinking, how to engage in higher level thinking, and, you know, just to regulate ourselves to achieve and perform at a higher level. And thinking really about our bigger why. What's the reason we're even doing what we're doing? What are our specific goals? And, you know, how do we structure those in our lives and write them down? And there's so many components that that really make a difference. And it is a framework, and there's a growth framework, you know, to look at your mindset overall.
Well, I know a big part of what I preach in terms of my very limited scope of habit, mindset, discipline, is that we're trying to really instill in business developers that a big portion of the workflow that we do is habit-based. So I, you know, in my simple mind, I just say things like, you know, discipline is great, but discipline is still something that you have to do, and you kind of muscle through it, or grit, you know, that, but grit, you just, you know, clench your teeth and get it done. What we're trying to get to, though, is the habit. It's just something you do. You know, the simple analogy is brushing your teeth. A lot of people brush their teeth every day. It's a natural occurring habit that we all do. But in the 1960s, it was not. It was definitely a disciplined type of task to get people to brush. So the top of funnel, a lot of the workflow pieces, in order to be successful, really you have to move from that discipline or sheer will or desire all the way up to habitual workflow. So in right. your mindset class, do you talk about, you know, moving from just sheer grit of getting things done to innate? It's an innate process. It's in your brain. Is there a piece of
yes,
that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. How do you retrain your, yes, exactly. Because it becomes innate over time, right? It's with practice and yes, as with practice. Anything else, but it's not natural. I mean, it's what's innate right now is the natural negative thinking, and that's definitely not what we want. And
right.
And so it's, you know, first the awareness of it, but then it is learning how to just change the way you think. And, you know, when this is kind of interesting, one exercise that we do, just to finish that thought, I just interrupted myself, but we do definitely talk about specific steps that you take over time that will retrain your brain. That's, you know, so that it is more innate to think differently and to mm-hmm. think at a higher level and to think as someone, you know, who has just that high performance mindset. As an example, to create that awareness, one of my favorite parts, and it's just so simple, but one of the things I do in the very beginning, oftentimes of this workshop, and this can be like a full day workshop, a half a day, or a few hour, and then I do keynotes as well on it. But one of the things I do in the workshop is ask for a volunteer to come forward. And you could have 500 people in a room, 1,000 people in a room, or 10 people in a room. It always is the same. One or two people will raise their hand and be willing to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is one or two out of 500, out of 100. I mean, again, it doesn't matter. And then someone comes up and I'll say, you know, what's your name? Okay, great. Nice to meet you. Here's $100. You may be seated. And thank you so much, right? And everyone else is kind of like, oh my gosh, I totally would have volunteered, right? And right. So I ask them, just I kind of have a moment, a pause, and say, okay, let's be as honest as we can be with each other and think back to that moment when I said I need a volunteer. What thought went through your mind at that exact moment?
To not be embarrassed.
What were you thinking? Right. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, and there's always one out of the crowd that's like, well, I just wanted to give other people the opportunity because I always volunteer, which is never really true. But I'm like, whatever. But you know, the people who are vulnerable and authentic are honest. And it could be a room of CEOs I've done it with. It could be a room of sales leaders or salespeople. It does not matter.
Yeah.
It's the same every time. And if people are real, they say, I didn't know what you were going to need and was afraid I would look stupid. I had fear of rejection, fear of failure, you know, just it's the negative thinking, but it is very poignant in kind of helping us become aware of what naturally happens and how many opportunities we're missing every day for $100, so to speak, you know, because we just are afraid and So there's that.
I can totally relate to that. I think a lot of it too, when you were thinking about the top of the funnel, we have the ability to knock on doors, virtually speaking, but we're talking to CEOs, we're talking to director level people, and we may just have 1 or 2 years under our belt in sales and the skill set. So there's just this natural apprehension of talking to a senior level person when we're the lowly, you know, business development team, and it's a very real fear in a lot of people.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So your, it is. And I mean, your mindset training teaches us how to get through that and how to actually embrace those conversations as a means towards the end goal. Is that what we would come away
yes.
with?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, that's definitely a big piece of it and a component of it. And we talk a lot about that rejection and how to, within that, to edit, you know, our negative thoughts and to manage through that and to think of it differently and, you know, how to persevere and get better results. So, you know, definitely that's something that salespeople have to fight against.
Now, in your work, do you work with salespeople who actually do all roles in sales? They prospect, they close, they service, or do you also see this movement towards, you know, business development people? That's what they do. They open those doors, then they hand off the opportunity to someone who closes deals, and then someone then services once they become a client. Do you actually see that going, the folks going through your programs or a mix? What are you seeing out there?
A mix, definitely. I mean, and again, it's not even just people in sales, but definitely a mix, because as we work with organizations as it relates to finding talent or peak performance, you know, it's all different. It's across all industries and there's different structures. So really all types of sales roles. And again, it could be sales leadership, marketing, operations, you know, just the C-level within an organization. So, and truthfully, it wouldn't matter. I mean, you need that kind of culture, that peak performance culture within the entire organization. It does make a huge difference. People with a positive mindset for sales statistically sell 38% more.
Wow.
So it makes a major revenue impact within an organization, but you need that across the entire organization.
Okay. Now you said that you also help companies by putting the right people in seats. What do you do with a company that's got a mixed match of, you know, people who are not necessarily high performers, but they're employees of the company? How do you kind of balance them all out so that everyone's performing at high peak?
Well, you know, first and foremost, and one of the things when we look at partnering with an organization, we'll talk about the sales organization as a whole. So when we talk about talent, we're talking about, you know, their growth opportunity in the marketplace, where they may have some vulnerabilities in regard to key players, where they just, you know, their natural turnover that may just be an industry type of, you know, turnover, and just on average in sales across all industries, there's a 30%, you know, turnover in sales, but some industries are a lot more. So, you know, we talk about all of those factors and how to proactively build a funnel of talent that matches the profile of a top performer within their organization so they can protect their revenue for growth, for that, for any areas. But, you know, as it relates to, you know, the C players and kind of what you were saying specifically, I think what you mentioned earlier is assessing to see if it's a skill set or a mindset issue is important. If they want to be better, whether it's skill set or mindset, then absolutely the peak performance mindset workshop or any skill set training that is provided to them will make a difference. But if they don't really care, we can't, you know, no great leader, no one can make someone care. They're just the wrong person and they need to be replaced. So
right.
Our tagline is hire the best, upgrade the rest. And, you know, and that covers everything we do.
So. Right, right. Now, of the three, the skill set, the mindset, the tool set, do you typically go in and look, is there a priority order, or after you start having those conversations with your clients, you sort of go down one channel versus the other, or how does that normally
work?
Yeah,
I think, you know, well, I think the tool set piece is theirs internally. Like, what's the CRM system? What are they using? How do they help them? you know, the skill set and the mindset. So I think, you know, one of the things, the first priority is looking at the people overall. Where do they have open seats? Because they're missing revenue opportunity, and that's right. An urgency. And where do they have C players that they know need to be replaced and can't be upgraded? And let us get those right people in. And then, you know, as we're talking about the sales organization overall, we'll talk about, you know, if they're what types of, in a lot of companies, they may have great, you know, training development within the company. But we'll talk about, you know, just the gaps and opportunities within the organization for development. And if they offer any development around peak performance mindset, or just mindset specifically, or if most of their onboarding or sales process or development is focused on skill set. So it's different for every company to net it out, because they all have different challenges. So it's not, you know, a cookie cutter approach. It really is customized based on the company's specific goals and challenges.
You know, one of the other areas, and I don't know if you address this or if it's even something that you have entertained doing, but a lot of times at top of funnel business development, the smaller companies especially seem to want to outsource that function a lot. So they would have someone else generating those appointments or those first meetings, and then their internal reps would handle from a meeting down to close won or close loss. Do you look at that as part of your assessment, whether outsourcing some of these roles would be beneficial, or are you working with people who want to keep everything in-house and grow their teams internally?
You know, we have clients that do both. We definitely have clients that outsource a piece of it, or, you know, some clients who've just asked us, who might we outsource this to? But they're not looking to have the teams internally. But, you know, most of our clients, of course, if we're helping them find talent, it's typically their internal teams. But, you know, some organizations have a combination of both.
Right. I was just curious if the work that you're doing transcends the internal organization to the outsourcer, because a lot of times from the standpoint of that handoff, it's important to have the same cultural sort of dialogue going on between the external and the internal. And there's always a big disconnect.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's important to not have that. Yes. And that's why I said earlier, to your point, hey, yes, I mean, peak performance mindset workshops make a huge impact on the sales organization. But if you can have that culture within the entire organization, then there's no disconnect, and it helps support that, and it makes a major impact. So,
well, I tell you, you know, I've been doing this now for 30 years on the process side, and without these components that you're discussing today, the skill set mindset, without that in balance with the what you're calling tool set, which is the process itself, you're just setting yourself up for failure in so many ways. Because if we could put the best engine in and have the best rocket fuel going in there from the leads perspective, but if you're not churning those leads into qualified opportunities, and if they're stalling, so the pipeline becomes a lake instead of a pipeline, you know, that's typically going to be skill set and mindset issues. And I've seen it so often that, you know, and it's hard to figure out, you know, what the framework looks like for those things. They're such, I hate to use this term, but soft topics. You know, they're not necessarily, you know, a process is brick and mortar. I mean, it's just like A to B. It's just not any shades of gray. It's black and white, so to speak. But when you get into the skill set mindset pieces, there are so many nuances to it. And it just seems very fluffy to me. And you know, so I love the fact that you have a framework step by step where people can go in, they can learn the framework, and then, you know, over time, they're going to master the framework and see those results in more revenue.
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with you completely. And that's why I said, you know, sometimes it does sound fluffy. And, you can't walk, you have to walk away with something tangible. You have to walk away with a framework. Like, how do I fix this? Okay, I have 60,000 thoughts a day. If naturally 80% of them are negative, how do I change that? Because, I mean, that's great to know. I don't really want to know that unless I can fix it, though.
Exactly. And what's also beautiful about what you do, too, is that this is not just for sales. This goes into your life. This is life lessons. This is, you know, if you're trying to become an athlete, or if you perhaps get more healthy or eat better. I mean, it's all in the mind as to how you go about improving upon your behaviors. And that's
right.
Yeah, it's just, it really touches so many different areas. I'm sure you have just fabulous conversations with your folks at the end of these workshops as to, you know, where they're heading. And then from a follow-up perspective, you know, where they were, how they're growing, and where they're going to get to. It must be very rewarding for you.
You know, it really is. I think when you can kind of unleash someone's mindset to the highest level, and just helping people become who they were fully created to be. And that's what I love about the peak performance piece of our business, because it just raises the quality of someone's life overall. And when companies do this within the organization, people feel like they've been personally poured into. It's different than anything they've ever gotten, right? They walk away knowing their dreams so clearly, like their goals so clearly. And, you know, in business, which is highly impactful to the company, but personally as well, like why they're really there personally, which motivates them so much more. So it just, people walk away feeling like, oh my gosh. I mean, that is how I ultimately got into it, is I was having a conversation about this and learning more about it. And I thought, this is life changing, whether it's in business or not. This will change businesses, but this will change lives within the people in businesses.
Right.
And it's just truly impactful.
Well, I think it's a wonderful gift that organizations can give to their employees, colleagues. So tell us how we can get a hold of you to find out more, inquire about your services. And any recommendations you have as we move into, this is being taped for the end of 2017. So we're starting to move into a new year, new goal. There's a lot of fun planning ahead of us. So first and foremost, let us know how we can get a hold of you. And secondly, if there's any documentation you want to include on your page for planning for 2018, let us know about that too.
Sure. Well, first of all, I can be contacted at jcrosby, C-R-O-S as in Sam, B as in boy, I-E, at proactivate.net. So not proactive, but proactivate.net. Have to specify.
And I'll have all this on your page. So if you're driving,
okay, perfect.
Car, write it down.
Yes. And then, you know, 214-720-9922.
Okay.
So, yes. And then in regard to just, you know, kind of getting ahead for next year, I would say first and foremost, write down your goals, whether it relates to prospects you want to get in with, your top target companies. And when I say write down your goals, it's not just business goals, but I know we're talking business, but I learned at the age of 18 from my mom, or probably 16, to write down goals. And I write them down for professional goals, for financial goals, for community service goals, for family wellness goals, relational goals, physical goals, financial goals. So every category in your life that's important to you, know your bigger why. The bigger the why, the bigger the try, and the better the how. So write down specific goals, but know the why behind them. What do you want to accomplish? Why do you want to accomplish it? And how will you go about accomplishing it? What are the specific measurable steps? If I could only say one thing that would make for a greater 2018, it would be that. And just to have very clear, measurable goals that you look back at every month, the beginning of every month, I will look at the goals that I have set out and plan and schedule time for each of those things into my calendar. And so if I said I'm going to work out 5 times a week, then I will write down my workouts into my calendar, whatever it is. So we want to have, you know, a plan of action. We want to live on purpose with a purpose and have be intentional. And studies show that people who write down their goals are much more successful and have a high greater chance of achieving what they set out to achieve. So we don't want to just kind of get through the year. We want to make things happen in the year. That would be my biggest piece of advice.
Perfect. Yeah. The other thing I'll add to that is, and I think people know my goal for 2018. I'm turning 60 in May. So my goal
my
is, to hold a 60-second
You do not look like it. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. But you do not look like it at all.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have a 60-second handstand goal. So I want to hold a handstand for 60 seconds on my birthday. And so everybody knows that. So the story here is write your goals down, as Jamie said, but also make them public. Let your colleagues know. Share with your friends and your family what your goals are. The ones you want to share. You don't have to share everything, but share the ones that you think, you know, are good for public to share with the public. And that also motivates you internally. It gets all those juices flowing and your behavior does start changing towards the goal. You know, like I'm taking my classes in aerial with my daughter to strengthen my upper body, all because I told everyone I'm doing this 60-second handstand hold in May. So
yes, because when you tell people, you definitely want to make it happen.
Exactly. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for your time. I have so enjoyed our conversation. And I will put all of Jamie's information and contact for you guys on her page. That way you can start 2018 or any time you're ready to start the planning process and changing your mindset. It's not a yearly thing. It's, you know, it's something that we really will complement everything that we work so hard for in getting the process in place and all of our tools and understanding the metrics. Those are all great things. But if you don't have the mindset and really to get started and then work on your skills in addition to all of this, You're never going to meet those goals that you have set for yourself. So give yourself a present and, you know, really look Jamie up and see what she has to offer. Thanks again, Jamie. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.